You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. There are many reasons to love web-based innovation. Platforms like Zoom kept us connected in a pandemic. iPhoto lets us instantly share our pics with far-flung family. And with Twitter, we find communities to express ourselves, sell products, and even watch sports from across the miles. One of my favorites is JibJab. Okay, JibJab is an app that allows you to upload a picture of yourself onto the body of a dancing elf or an adorable puppy. Aww. You can even put your head on the body of an animated James Brown.
I gotta be human. Hey, let me tell you.
Just point, click, hit send, and within moments, your best friend is rocking out to a birthday card featuring a mashup of you and the Godfather of Soul. Easy face-swapping technology is great when it's silly, consensual, animated fun. But as many people know, there's a more sinister side. Deep fakes. Deep fakes first emerged within pornography, and most remain pornographic in nature. Deep fakes use AI technology to take the faces of unsuspecting, non-consenting women and put them onto the bodies of people in pornographic videos. These are not adorable holiday animations, and typically, it's not even obvious that they're fake. Up until now, deepfakes required significant coding skills. But now, there's a new app that makes it possible for almost anyone to point, click, hit send, and within moments, your boss is watching what appears to be a genuine video of you engage in explicit sexual acts. For more on this, we spoke with Rebecca Delfino, law professor at LMU Loyola Law School in Los Angeles, and Karen Howe, the senior AI editor at MIT Technology Review. Rebecca started by explaining a bit more about the complicated world of deepfake technology.
So deepfakes emerged on the internet as we know them now in about the end of 2017, and it started on Reddit, in fact, through a Reddit user who developed the concept of mapping one person's face onto the body of another person. And it started in the context of pornography.
It actually began with pornography.
It did. The individual who coined the term deepfake on Reddit was taking images of the face of famous actresses and placing them on the bodies of women engaged in intimate and pornographic acts. And then this individual then posted them on the Reddit site that they had created.
So, Karen, I'm assuming that this is pretty clearly non-consensual porn.
Absolutely. I mean, a consensual porn is when the person being portrayed in the pornography actually willingly participates and even knows that it's happening. And in this particular case, the Reddit user absolutely did not in any way ask for the consent of these female celebrities. And many of the female celebrities felt quite traumatized when they discovered that their image was being manipulated in this way.
Now, Karen, I think of myself not as a complete Luddite, you know, as having a few tech skills. I can cut a little sound for a radio show here and there, but I don't think that I'd be able to make something like this that didn't look, you know, kind of obviously fake. Has the technology evolved to a point where even someone who is a novice can create these deep fakes?
Unfortunately, yes. So back in 2017, it was still a quite complicated process. There were essentially AI algorithms that were open sourced online, and you needed to understand how to code in order to use it to do this kind of face swap and impose these female celebrities' faces onto porn star bodies. But what we've seen over the last 4 years is the technology has gotten easier and easier from a user experience perspective, where it's packaged into these consumer type apps where you literally just have to push a button to do the same kind of face swapping. So unfortunately, what we've seen, I just recently wrote this article about this new service, the latest service in this vein that came out that does exactly this. You upload a single photo, you push a couple buttons, and then immediately the image of the woman in the photo that you upload is now transposed onto a porn star.
Okay, Rebecca, you said that deep fake technology emerged in the context of non-consensual porn here, but is it pervasive? I mean, if someone is, using a porn site, how likely is it that they may encounter something which is actually a deep fake?
It's actually quite likely now. The prevalence of deepfakes that appear in the pornographic space is exploded, in fact, in the last 2 years. Entities that have studied and have tracked deepfakes have estimated that 96% of the deepfake videos online are pornographic, and that 90% of them are women. And just to give you a sense of those numbers, in July of 2019, there were about 15,000 deepfakes that involved pornography. A year later, there were 50,000, and the entities that are tracking this predict that the growth will continue by a factor of 2 every 6 months. So it is a virtual explosion of deepfake pornographic videos on the internet.
All right, Karen, why should we care? I mean, it's not really these women. It's not really their bodies. If your, face is out there as a celebrity, you could be out there as a celebrity in all kinds of different images. Why does it even matter?
Right. I mean, there are some very severe consequences that come out of this kind of deepfake pornographic abuse, essentially. One is the psychological impact that it has on these women. It's very traumatizing to see your image represented in such a different way from what you see yourself as, and it exists on the internet basically forever. So it very much ends up having these like economic and interpersonal impacts, the same as real revenge porn might. Every time you go to a job interview, you might have to confront and answer for this pornographic image of you that you never even knew existed. Every time you go on a date, you have to answer to the person that you're dating. And there have already been multiple cases of women that have been harassed with rape and death threats because the public doesn't know that they're not real. They think that they're real, or who have lost their jobs. There was this teacher who lost her job after the school discovered these images, believed that they were real. And even if they weren't real, they thought that it was inappropriate for a teacher with that kind of imagery online to be then teaching students. So the repercussions are extremely real. So this is a story that I heard from the UK government-funded entity, Revenge Porn Hotline. They're a nonprofit organization that helps women who are the victim of revenge porn and what they've seen over the last couple years, and particularly during the pandemic, is an uptick in faked pornography and specifically deepfaked revenge porn. And they heard from this teacher who called into the service saying, I have no idea where these images came from or who's making these of me. Many people don't even know that deepfakes exist. So according to her, the school just didn't understand when she was like, this isn't me, this is fake. That concept is really hard to wrap your head around because the images can be so realistic now that it looks like it is you. So I think that cognitive dissonance caused the school to be extremely concerned about continuing to employ the teacher. They probably were wondering what the kids might think if they discover this, what parents might think if they discover this, and the impending confusion they just didn't want to have to deal with.
So, Rebecca, what kind of legal recourse would someone have in a situation, whether it's like that, or whether it's a celebrity, or even if someone just pulls your image off of your own social media site, like your Facebook page? What can you do about it?
Well, unfortunately, right now, in many places, there's very little that can be done aside from contacting the platforms and asking them to take the image down. But as Karen suggested, even if you can get a media platform to take it down, it still is out there and it can be copied and disseminated. And so it's difficult for people to get a handle on it once it's been released. But in terms of the legality of it, currently the United States, federally, we don't have a national criminal law that speaks to this particular problem. And I wrote an article, in fact, in 2019 that came out that discuss the need for that. Some work has been done and some legislation has been proposed at the federal level, but it is not really emerged out of the various committees in Congress. So then it requires that folks look to the states where they live to see if there is a recourse for them. And currently there's only one state in the nation, Virginia, that has a law that criminalizes the distribution and creation of deepfakes. And in Virginia, what they did is Virginia is one of the 46 states that actually has a revenge porn crime. And they took the revenge porn crime and they amended the definition to include the concept of these simulated deepfake pornographic images. So now if you live in Virginia, of course, you can complain and perhaps obtain a prosecution.
Given that you're saying Virginia, which is not typically the most like progressive out in front on these kinds of things per se, I'm wondering if that's about politicians. Is that about basically DC folks not wanting or wanting to have recourse if this happens to them?
That's an interesting question. So I don't know the answer, but often in these when it comes to laws that are protecting women and girls, politicians are often motivated by something that is personal to them. And I suspect that in Virginia, the motivation might have been because the individual legislators who proposed it, someone brought it to them, their attention and said, hey, this has happened to someone that we know. That tends to be where these laws get traction and attention. And in addition to, there may be some truth to what you suggest that the political class that is close to DC is also concerned about the impacts of these crimes.
So we've talked about it kind of using, Karen, the shorthand of women, and this happens to women. Does this mostly happen to women, exclusively happen to women? Are there men who are also victimized by this? And I almost hate to ask, but children.
Right. So Rebecca mentioned a stat earlier that 90% of non-consensual deepfake porn is made of women. And probably when they say women, they really mean like females. So perhaps they might be 17, 16, 15. We don't know. There have certainly been known instances of this kind of technology being used on underage girls. But to the extent, we don't know the extent because it's sort of hard. Like many of these victims are not known by name. It's sort of just image forensicists are looking at the images and trying to figure out how young they look. And it does, in rare occasions, also happen to men. I mean, in the service that I discovered and reported on earlier this week, it also allows for face swapping of men onto gay porn. And if you think about the fact that being homosexual is criminalized in certain countries by the death penalty, that could have also severe consequences for men. But I do think that by far, the consequences really, the brunt of it is really felt by women and maybe some underage girls.
Rebecca, I'm wondering if there are other kinds of policies at either the state or federal level, maybe sort of mapping that Virginia policy, if that's sufficient, or if there are other ways that federal and state policy can address this.
Right. So I think there are a number of things that can be done, and a lot of it's going to involve inviting the private sector in, the media, social media companies, those that control the space in which we live on the internet, policies that can encourage them or incentivize them policing their sites and being more responsive to takedown requests in a swifter manner. I know that Facebook and Google are working on developing greater responsiveness to these issues, but encouragement at the federal level or in the state level as well. I know in the last year, there have been legislation that is targeted sites such as Pornhub, requiring them, you know, sort of making them responsible if they are posting certain things that are pornographic.
Rebecca Delfino is a law professor at LMU Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. And Karen Howe is the senior AI editor at MIT Technology Review. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.